Good morning. It is great to be together again as we prepare to spend time in our last installment of the spiritual disciplines. Today we're going to discuss, or our topic for today rather, is the discipline of celebration. It's the kind of discipline you really look forward to. Are you with me right here? The discipline of celebration. As we prepare our hearts to spend time in God's Word, let us go before our Father in heaven in prayer. Good Almighty God, we come before you grateful for your love and your mercy and your grace and your many, many blessings, Father. Thank you so much for this opportunity for us to have combed through these great disciplines that you seek to teach us as we strive to see our lives transformed before you, God. I pray, Father, that as we spend this time in this final discipline, the discipline of celebration, that we indeed have hearts that are excited and hearts that look forward to celebrating with you and in you, God, and rejoicing in your name, Father. And I pray, God, that as we spend this time, we indeed draw deeper in our relationship with you through your word. God, please be with us. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. The discipline of celebration. You know, celebration is at the heart of the way of Jesus. You know, Jesus entered this world on a high note of jubilation. You know, in Luke chapter 2, in verse 10, the Bible says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people.'" You know, in John chapter 15, in verse 11, the Bible says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." You know, Jesus bequeathing these words of joy to his disciples. You know, many writers have gone to great lengths to demonstrate that Jesus began his public ministry by proclaiming the year of Jubilee. And in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, the Bible said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You know, words like these just beckon or call on celebration. You know, as a result, we are called, I believe, into a perpetual jubilee of the Spirit, if you will, where there is celebration for all generations. You know, when the poor receive good news, when the captives are released, when the blind receive their sight, when the oppressed are liberated, who can withhold the shout of celebration? In the Old Testament, all the social stipulations of the year of Jubilee, such as canceling all the debts, releasing the slaves, planting no crops, returning property to their original owner, you know, were all a celebration of the gracious provision of God. You know, God could be trusted to provide what was needed for them as he can be trusted to provide what's needed by us. You know, in Leviticus chapter 25, the Bible describes in verse 18, he says, "Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live in safety. You may ask, 'What will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops?'" You know, in verse 21, it says, "I will send you such a blessing." God says, "I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years." You know, God would provide for his people a freedom from anxiety, a freedom from care. Forms the basis, I believe, for us today for celebration. Because we know that God cares for us. We can cast all our anxieties on Him. You know, for those people at that time and for us today, God has turned our mourning into dancing. You know, the carefree spirit of joyous festivity can be absent from, you know, many of our lives today and in contemporary society, where we can, you know, feel comfortable to dance like no one's watching. You know, sometimes we can feel in society today, you know, someone's always watching us, and it curbs our behavior, and the things that we want to celebrate, we feel restricted. Are you with me right here? You know, I remember very recently watching a video. I think my wife had sent it to me, and it was, I think it was like a Christmas celebration or a Christmas concert with some students. And there was this one child in the middle, and he was singing that song, and he was just dancing and twitching and moving his head and doing all kinds of funny dances and moving his hands, and, you know, and all the other students around him watching him like, you know, why are you getting on so, you know what I mean? And God wants us to have a carefree spirit of joyous festivity. You know, there exists in society today an apathy and even a melancholy that could dominate the times that we live in. You know, one writer whose name is Harvey Cox, he said, you know, that the modern man has been pressed so hard toward useful work and rational calculation that he has all but forgotten the joy of ecstatic celebration. You know, have you forgotten what it is to celebrate today? Has life brought so many challenges that you've forgotten what it is to celebrate and to be excited about your very relationship with God? You know, I have 4-5 points today, and 5 may sound like plenty, but this is a celebration message. You with me right here? And for our first point, it's celebration gives strength to life. You know, celebration brings joy into our lives, and joy makes us strong. The scriptures tell us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Nehemiah chapter 8, and I've chosen to look at the Message version in verse 10, it says, he continued, go home and prepare a feast, holiday food and drink, and share it with those who don't have anything. It says, this day is holy to God. Don't feel bad. The joy of God is your strength. The joy of God is your strength. You know, joy and celebration, I believe, are essential and should be inherent in our relationship with God. And we cannot continue very long without joy in our lives. Are you with me? You know, women endure childbirth because the joy of motherhood lies on the other side. You know, young married couples struggle through the first difficult years of adjustment in marriage because they value the insurance of a long life together. You know, parents hold steady through the teenage years, knowing that their children somehow one day will emerge at the other end human beings once again. We may be able to begin, things like tennis and piano lessons by sheer will, but we will only keep on going if we look out for joy on the other end of these embarkations. You know, in fact, the only reason we may begin sometimes is because we know that there is joy in the end result. Could you relate to what I'm saying? You know, this is what sustains us as beginners sometimes. The knowledge and the hope that there is a sense of pleasure and enjoyment and joy at the end of our journey that we will indeed appreciate. You know, celebration is central to the spiritual disciplines. Without a joyful spirit of festivity, the disciplines that we've been learning can become dull. And every discipline should be characterized by carefree gaiety and a sense of thanksgiving. You know, the Bible in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 helps us to appreciate that joy is part of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy is the engine, if you will, the thing that keeps everything else going. Without joyous celebration to infuse into the other disciplines, we will sooner or later abandon them. You know, joy produces energy. Joy makes us strong. You know, ancient Israel was commanded to gather together 3 times a year to celebrate the goodness of God. Could you believe it? Those were festival days in the highest sense for ancient Israel. You know, they were the experiences that gave strength and cohesion to the people of Israel at that time. You know, so powerful is joy. You know, for our second point, you know, the path to joy is obedience and trust. You know, in the spiritual life, only one thing will produce genuine joy, and that is obedience. You know, that old hymn that we sing, you know, trust and obey, there is no other way. You know, the old hymn tells us that there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, the hymn writer received his inspiration from God himself, I believe. For Jesus tells us that there is no blessedness that is equal to the blessedness of obedience. You know, interestingly, in Luke chapter 11, in verse 27 and verse 28, the Bible says, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. You know, Jesus responded, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. It was almost as if he was saying, you know, it is more blessed to obey God's word than to be the mother of the Messiah. Are you with me right here? You know, joy comes through obedience to Jesus. And joy results from obedience to Christ. You know, without obedience, joy is hollow and artificial. You know, to elicit genuine celebration, obedience must work itself into the ordinary fabric of our daily lives. You know, without obedience, our celebrating carries a hollow sound. We may be living a life without joy, and then we find a church hoping that, you know, God will somehow give us an infusion of joy to make it through the day. You know, we may be looking for some kind of heavenly transfusion or some process of osmosis so that joy just somehow infiltrates our lives to give us joy to bypass our misery. You know, but God's desire is to transform the misery and not bypass it. You know, I remember as I was using the word osmosis a few seconds ago, I remember when we were in university and we had this exam one morning, and a real bridging of mine, boy. We sit down in the engineering undercroft in UE. And the morning before the exam, I got there early and I sitting down and watching my partner and saying, but Garen, why you have all these books, you know, around here? Because he was sitting down and they had a book here and a book there and a book there and a book there, and he just had this a set of textbooks around him, you know. And you're saying, boy, at this stage, with this exam coming here, he was hoping that by some process of osmosis, all the knowledge from all the books was somehow getting to him, and he'll be able to pass this exam, you know. And you know, you can think of joy somehow entering us in the same way. We feel and hope that by some process of osmosis, somehow joy will enter our lives. But we need to understand that God does at times give us an infusion of joy, even in our bitterness and our hard-heartedness, but that's not the normal situation. You know, God's normal means of bringing his joy is by redeeming and sanctifying the ordinary junctures of human life. There is something sad in people running from perhaps church to church or place to place to get an injection of the joy of God. Joy is not found in singing a particular kind of music. It's not found in getting with the right kind of group. You know, joy is found in obedience in our relationship with God as it transforms our lives. You know, when the power that is in Jesus reaches into our work and our play and redeems them, there will be joy where there was once mourning. You know, joy is the end result of the spiritual disciplines actually functioning in our lives. You know, God brings about the transformation of our lives through the disciplines. And we will not know genuine joy until there is transforming work in our lives. Are you with me right here? You know, many people try to come to joy far too soon. Often we try to pump people up and pump some joy into them. And in reality, nothing has really happened in their lives. God has not yet broken into the routine experiences of their daily existence. You know, celebration comes when the common ventures of life are redeemed. You know, my dad used to say, when we had challenges and hardships, and you go to him, you'd say, the more sorrow that scrapes the inner of one's being, the more joy he can contain. You know, and that's a real philosophical thing. You know, it's as if you gotta go through some stuff. You know, and I think about that thing that he said, and I think about, you know, a calabash. You have to, you know, you cut the calabash in half and you have to scrape out all the stuff inside. And when you scrape that bowl there. That receptacle is able to hold a large volume of water or a large volume of food if you're living in St. Vincent. You know, the more sorrow that scrapes the inner of one's being, the more joy he can contain. We got to go through some stuff. And through that stuff, we are to be obedient to God. And I believe he allows us to embrace that joy and embrace that celebration that he has in store for us. You know, point number three. You know, celebration of achievement. God in everything. And I'll run that by you again. Point number three, celebration of achievement. God in everything. You know, the Apostle Paul calls us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 5, and I'll read the Message version. It says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them to see the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. You know, I love the way that it starts. It says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. You know, Paul says to celebrate God all day, every day. You know, God wants to be intimately involved in our celebration every day, every step we take, every move we make. You know, he wants to celebrate with us. You know, as I shared in the lesson on meditation, he wants to come in and eat with us. He wants to be the inside man. He wants to have a meal with us. You know, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. You know, God says, when you work, I want you to work as if you're working for me. Isn't that deep? God says, I want to be involved in your work so much that when you're on your job, brother, you're thinking that you're working for me and you're working as if you're working for me because I want to be in there with you. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. You know, God says, involve me. If you're eating, if you're drinking, whatever you're doing, involve me. Glorify me. You know, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, it says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. You know, God says, commit your work to me and your plans. And that word established means to set up on a firm and permanent basis. You know, God says, listen, man, when you focus on any plan, when you do your work and you put it before me, I will make sure that it's firm and permanent. You hit me right here. God says, involve me in everything that you do. When you work, work as if working for me. When you rejoice, rejoice in me so that, you know, so that I believe he tells us that so that we will not take our minds off of God when we work at our jobs. And we will not take our minds off of God when we succeed in our education. And we will not take our minds off of God when we celebrate. You know, I believe it is when we don't involve God, nor give him the glory, that we get anxious. It's when we don't involve God, you know, on the other spectrum, you know, I think that's when we start to think that our hands have made us rich. When we don't involve God, we start to be puffed up about ourselves and about the things that we've achieved. When we don't involve God, it becomes all about us. You know, God has given us great minds, some greater than others. You know, he gives us great and immense abilities to succeed in many, many things. And he gives us gifts to secure our success. And I believe he expects us to use the very gifts that he's given us. He looks forward to the celebration. So certainly God expects us to use the gifts that we've given to be successes in this life. You know, God expects us to work hard. And not be lazy people. You know, and on this earth there, I believe that there's no room for laziness. There's no room for laziness in this life. You know, I'll share some scriptures on that. It says 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. It says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat." See, listen, man, you can't be lazy and not work. That's sinful stuff. You with me right here. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Are you with me right here? This is some deep stuff. I mean, there's just no room for laziness, right? Proverbs chapter 6, reading from verses 9 to 11, it says about the sluggard. It says, "How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." I mean, you know, God just really put some real, a real picture in your mind with this. You know, laziness, a gunman gonna be above you. You know, laziness and being a sluggard, man, poverty will come on you like a thief. You ain't expecting it to just it show up, right? And you got to deal with it. There's no room for laziness. You know, Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 23, it says, "In all toil there is profit, but mere talk comes only, tends only to poverty." So don't just be a talk. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do the other. You know, mere talk comes to poverty. There's no room for laziness in this life. You know, God has blessed us with too much. You know, God has blessed us with intelligence. God has blessed many of us with talents. Some people are excellent with their hands. They're creative. Some people just have amazing minds. They can remember everything. You know, God has blessed some of us with athletic ability. Some people with a business mind. Some people with a scientific mind. Some people with a legal mind. You know, God has blessed us with so many abilities, right? And I believe that he doesn't expect us to just sit there and do nothing to contribute to society. You know, our living requires hard work and dedication in every aspect of our lives. For our careers and pursuits, it requires dedication. For our educational pursuit, it requires hard work, for which God has equipped many of us for excellence in a special way with the many talents and gifts and specialties that he's given you. You know, I believe God looks forward to us having dreams and goals and ambitions to make a difference on the earth with the lives we have here. You know, so dream your dreams and pursue excellence with the gifts through hands and mind and body that he has given you. Only do it with him. In all things, being grateful for the source of your abilities and the talents, and ensure that he is the center of the celebration. Are you with me? You know, God gives us a unique opportunity for achievement in life and to see his hand at work and to see the gifts that he has given every one of us used to excel and achieve success so that we will not only succeed for ourselves, but dare I say more importantly, for the sake of others and to have something to share. And I believe fulfillment in any achievement is a gift from God. You know, not only in achievement, you know, is there fulfillment all the time. In some achievements, there may not be fulfillment. But when you do it with God involved, in his appointed way, then that's the way to joy. When God is in our toil and hand in hand in our pursuit of success, then we can embrace the spiritual disciplines and not be afraid of them. And not be alarmed when we talk about meditation. And not be alarmed and challenged when we talk about study. And not be alarmed and fearful when we speak about simplicity and our world gets shattered. But we trust that God has a plan to enhance our lives and our being through the disciplines that he gives us and enjoy. You know, we are not to feel restricted by these disciplines, but instead we have a complete liberation and a freedom to embrace, I believe, what is Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You know, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Will you take this journey with me? You know, even if your pursuit in life is simple, it may not be something extravagant, but it is valuable to you. You know, God grants a heart of satisfaction. And God accepts every one of us, all of us, at whatever your desired level of achievement is without judging us. And we should do the same. You know, for if he has granted all of us this capacity and ability and freedom to rejoice and celebrate as he is with us in a special way, then he expects us to be there for each other in the same way. You know, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're degreed or not, we can all rejoice in God wherever wherever we seek our achievements. We can all rejoice in God. We should celebrate and encourage each other and our successes and our achievements as we glorify God, our God who has made it possible, our God who wants to be involved in everything and in the middle of this celebration. Are you with me right here? You know, point number 4, the benefits of celebration. You know, one very important benefit of celebration is that it saves us from taking ourselves too seriously. It saves us from taking ourselves too seriously. You know, there is a desperately needed grace for all those people who are earnest about the spiritual disciplines. Because I believe there's an occupational hazard with any devoted person where they can become stuffy or boring. Are you with me right here? And this should not be. You know, of all the people, we should be the most free. We should be the most alive. We should be the most interesting. You know, celebration adds a note of gaiety and festivity and hilarity to our lives. You know, after all, you know, Jesus rejoiced so fully in life that, you know, his contemporaries almost accused him of being someone who frequented alcohol or gluttony. Are you with me right here? You know, and sometimes we could lead sour lives where, you know, we cannot possibly be accused of such things. Now, I'm not recommending a periodic romp in sin. So don't want to say, Roger say I could drink a set of rum and go and jump up in a juve band. I'm suggesting that we need to go deeper and experience more earthly exhilarating experiences. Have some fun in your days on this earth. God has given us a life to live, and he's created a beautiful out there, places to see, things to do. Don't get all stuffy and unfun. Please, we can celebrate the very life that God has given us. It is healing and refreshing to cultivate a wide appreciation for life. Our spirit can become weary, and we can become drained with straining after God, just as our body can become weary with overworking, right? Celebration helps us to relax and enjoy the good things of the earth and of this life. Celebration can also be an effective antidote for that periodic sadness that sometimes comes into our lives that can constrict us and oppress our hearts. Depression is an epidemic today, and I believe that celebration can help stem the tide. One writer counsels those who are bowed low with the burdens of life to encourage themselves with good conversation and even by making merry. Another benefit of celebration is its ability to give us perspective. We can laugh at ourselves. Is that okay? We can have a good laugh at ourselves. Are you with me right here? It's okay, and it brings perspective. I remember some months ago now, my brother Norman gave me a call, and I was talking to him, and I was at the house here. Me, I've told this already, but I had a good laugh about myself. I was upstairs, on the roof. I didn't know anything by me. The roof a little at that time it was a little mossy, and I have this pair of shoes, and the shoes have no grips on it. I mean, I really need to get a pair of shoes, right? No grips on this shoe, and if I walk down the road and the floor tile, I will be slipping and sliding. So I go on upstairs and I'm watching this dark spot, and I'm on the phone. I have my bag on my back, and I'm talking to Norms, and I'm walking around, and I'm watching this puddle. So they have a puddle of water, and it's black, and I go on it myself. I say, well, I wonder how slippery this thing is, boy, And I just put my foot in the puddle, and I kind of drag my foot to just to see how slippery this thing is, and I don't know how all of a sudden I end up 2 foot in the air, and I fall along on my back, and a good thing I had my knapsack on, because I don't know, I end up in the hospital, and I lie down there, and I'm telling Norms on the phone. I say, Norms, but you wouldn't believe what just happened to me. I had a good laugh. He had a good laugh. But sometimes it's okay to laugh at yourself. Are you with me? When we come to see sometimes in life that the causes that we champion or the things that we pursue are not nearly as monumental as we would like to believe. Sometimes the things that we do, we're so focused on it, and we might feel that this is the greatest thing ever, and it might be for you, right? But perspective comes when somebody else kind of watches and say, okay, well, boy, I'm really excited about this, but it may not be so special, And the other day I was doing some work. I had these little machines that we use on work, and certain things were wrong with some of them. So let's say one of them has two parts working, and the other one has another two parts working. So I started switching the pieces from the different machines. So I opened them up, and there's just circuit boards and all kinds of electronic parts in there. And I hadn't really dove into this thing for a long time. It's not my area of expertise. But I went in there, and I started with five not working, and I ended up with three working. I was able to switch some stuff around, and I felt so proud of myself. When Mags came around, she didn't really share my level of enthusiasm. She just saw a mess and lots of circuit boards and wires on my desk, and I was smiling, and she was like, okay, that's cool. Wasn't very special to her, but it was special to me. In celebration, the high and the mighty regain their balance, and the weak and lowly receive new stature. There are no levels. when we're celebrating. You know, who can be high or low at the festival of God? You know, in celebration, together the rich and the poor, the powerful and the powerless all celebrate the glory and wonder of God. There is no leveler of the caste systems like festivity and celebration. When we're celebrating, we're in unity. It's not where we've been or what we've achieved. It's just us together in celebration because it brings us to one. When we are freed of an inflated view of our own importance, I believe we are also freed from a judgmental spirit. You know, others do not, at that point in time, look so awful anymore, or so unspiritual, or so underachieving at that point in time. You know, common joys can be shared without sanctimonious value judgments. You know, finally, an interesting characteristic of celebration is that it tends toward more celebration. You know, joy begets joy. You know, laughter begets laughter. It is one of those few things in life that we multiply by giving. That's how joy and celebration, and it is contagious. It operates in pairs. And we all get an opportunity to share in it. You know, for my final point, it's the practice of celebration. You know, in celebration, you know, if it is a corporate discipline, and if it brings such benefit to the people of God, then how is it practiced? And that's an important question to answer. You know, one way to practice celebration is through singing and dancing and maybe shouting. You know, because of the goodness of God, the heart breaks forth sometimes into psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, worship, praise, and adoration flow from the inner chambers. You know, in Psalm 150, and I'm not going to turn there, we see the celebration of the people of God with trumpets and flutes and banjos and with castanets and with dancing and with strings and pipes and loud clashing cymbals. You know, and it just paints a picture of a real celebration in Psalm 150. You know, what do little children do when they celebrate? Well, one thing for sure, they make plenty, plenty noise. and there's not a thing wrong with noise at the appropriate time, right? Just as there's nothing wrong with silence when it is appropriate. You know, children dance when they celebrate. You know, when the children of Israel had been snatched from the clutches of Pharaoh by the mighty power of God in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20, it said, you know, Miriam the prophetess led the people in a great celebration dance. You know, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14 and 16, it says, David went leaping and dancing before the Lord with all his might. You know, singing and dancing and noise making are not required forms of celebration, but they are great examples to impress upon us that the earth indeed is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, laughing is another way to practice celebration. You know, the old adage says that laughter is the best medicine. It has a lot going for it. You know, as this excerpt that I read, it's this guy, Norman Cousins, in his book, he said, the title of the book was Anatomy of an Illness. And he discussed how he used the therapy of laughter to help him overcome a crippling disease that was very, very painful. And in his hospital bed, Cousins watched what was old Marx Brothers films, or I don't know how many of you young enough to remember candid camera shows. And he would watch these, and because of the genuine belly of laughter he experienced, it seemed to have an anesthetic effect and gave him some pain-free sleep. You know, doctors even confirmed that the salutary effect of the laughter on his body chemistry. You know, and why not? Jesus had a sense of humor. Some of the parables in the Bible and even in the Old Testament scripture, I mean, they are so funny, positively comical. Are you with me right here? So we could poke fun at ourselves, enjoy some wholesome jokes, enjoy some clever puns, relish good comedy, learn to laugh. It is a discipline to be mastered. Let go of the everlasting burden of always needing to sound profound. celebrate birthdays and graduations and marriages and anniversaries and finishing a project and a special life achievement and milestones in our pursuits of education, securing a job, receiving a raise. There are so many things that we can celebrate. In addition to, not having a regular ritual because of something that happened, set up regular times to play games or to watch movies together or read books together. Have a cold beverage with your brethren. I love to do that. Play some old school vintage Kaiso, right? Talent nights. We look forward to again when COVID-19 is all closed. Karaoke's when we emerge. Turn visits to relatives into celebrations of our relationships. And I'm sure that you can come up with many other ways to celebrate. Christmas time, let's see what we can do. Get some ham, some jam, some lamb. Get some sweet beverages as we enjoy our the company of each other. We have come at this stage. We have come to the end of our journey. But it's just the beginning. We have seen how meditation heightens our spiritual sensitivity, which leads us to prayer. We can effectively move into study, which gives us discernment about ourselves and the world in which we live. Through simplicity, we can live with others in integrity, acceptance, and unity. All the disciplines freely exercised bring forth celebration with our God. And I pray that indeed we have been encouraged by our journey as we seek to be transformed to the glory of our God. And may God bless you all. Amen.